Welcome to Como Estas, episode 6. We're here. It's early Monday. It's really Tuesday morning now. About 3:11 a.m., my phone says. And we're back after seeing the RCH show in the Arena National Pond with a lot of AAA stars. Rob's here again. We don't have a studio audience. Some of our studio audience is heading back home now, which is sad. But
it was nice. Well, we're still here. We saw an awesome RCH show.
Yes. We saw if you've seen the card, it's pretty much a AAA show with a couple of indie guys on the opening match. It was our only chance we're going to see AAA, and it was our second trip to Arena Nussapan, which has been a really fun arena to be in both times.
Tonight was very different than Thursday, though, because there were actual fans there.
Yeah.
The building was, I would say, sold out, but it was pretty much 90% full.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It was jam-packed. I mean, people just screaming. The lineup to get in was huge, even when we got there, and we got there even earlier than the show was supposed to begin, so.
And then the show didn't begin for about half an hour, because today was Mexican Independence Day. We started out the day by seeing the military parade go down Paso de la Forma.
Yep.
And so a lot of people had days off. A lot of people were in celebratory moods. So they had a mariachi band play songs before the show, just as a special bonus. They played songs for quite a while.
Then we met Black Terry Jr.
Yeah.
And he guided us over to Arena Naucalpan.
Yeah.
As a side note, we were actually supposed to be joined at one point by Ray Hechicero.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, Ray Hechicero is in town for his actual job, and we thought we might meet up with him, but it didn't work out. It
didn't work out.
I think we were there. But, you know, it was nice. We got to talk about him a little bit. We went to the show with us three, Cecilia, Rob, myself, Black Terry Jr., and Alfredo, who wasn't sure if he was going to get in as press, but did and got to take photos all night.
Yeah, got to take photos. We took the metro all the way to where El Toreo de Cuatro Caminos used to be, the famous UWA arena.
That's the name of the station. It's still the symbol for the station is the old dome.
Yep. And this is a new experience for me. We went to one of the bus terminals, but instead of taking a bus, a van pulled up that just said Naucalpan on it. And Black Terry Jr. inquired, "Do you actually go near the actual arena, Naucalpan?" And the guy said, "Yeah." So for seven or eight?
I think it was 7 pesos.
Seven pesos. We basically got in a van and were driven to the arena. But we weren't the only ones in the van. There were other people too. So I guess this is the way Mexicans travel all over the place. But
it was 3 pesos for a single subway ride, to give you some perspective. So it wasn't really that expensive to take that.
It's less than a cent.
Yeah, so it was no big deal.
Yeah, and it's convenient. You just need to know what you're doing, because if that van would have just pulled up and opened its door, if we didn't have Black Terry Jr. with us, we would have just been standing there completely clueless to, like, where's the bus?
Yeah. So we went to the show. We got in early. We saw Enrique Iniesta
does the ring announcing for RCH.
He said hi us, and he said he'd mention us during the show, and he did introduce.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Do you want to start talking about the show, or was there something else before the show? Oh, yeah, before the show, before the show is that...
How could we forget this?
It was before the Mariachis were playing. We had just come to the arena maybe a couple minutes before, and Jack Evans walks out to the lower entrance or exit in Arena Naucalpan and yells, what did he yell?
Rob Viper! Where's Rob Viper? So I heard this, and I'm like, well, that's strange. So we all stumbled over to where Jack was, and we introduced ourselves to Jack. Jack knew we were there because Black Terry Jr. was backstage getting ready to take pictures, and he told Jack that we were there. So Jack thought I was Lucha Blog at first, actually.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, great sight. And I'm like, no, I'm not Lucha Blog. This guy's Lucha Blog. So I pointed him in Cubs fans' direction.
Yeah, so we had to go backstage a little bit so we wouldn't get autographed
by the fans.
And we got to talk to him a little bit before the show.
Right.
He seemed to be in a good mood, as always.
Yeah, we asked him about the mystery AAA guy that's coming and if he's excited for the shows coming up and just basically talked about anything and everything.
When we did talk about the mystery guy, what he has heard is differently from what we had figured out, so we're not really sure what's going on with that.
Apparently it's not Ryan Rollins. So
at least according to him, but then also he didn't know he was teaming with the mystery guy.
Right, so, or that there was a AAA show coming up on
so
Sunday.
Maybe he could be even thinking of somebody else.
Right. We'll see how it turns out.
He
put over Lucha Blog.
He said, I get some things wrong, but I get some things right that other people say are not right. So
exactly.
I will strive to do better with getting more things right.
Maybe he'll put in a good word with Conan. What do you think?
No. I'm digging the hole.
So, yeah, so we said our goodbyes to Jack. He's at to hang out after the show so we can meet up with him again.
Yeah.
And we went back to our seats and watched the mariachi band continue to play, even though the show start time had already come and gone.
Yeah, you have to kind of... CML runs on a train schedule where everything happens when it's supposed to be happening. The other shows are kind of... If you've been to a lucha show in Chicago or elsewhere, it's more flexible about when the start time might be.
If you're wondering why people are always walking in late, it's because they know the shows are starting late. So they just take their chances and show up 40 minutes late, hoping that the first match still hadn't finished yet.
They're not in a hurry to get there on time, because there's no reason to be on time. You want to talk about the opener? It was Freelance and Saya versus...
No. Centurion and Saya.
Centurion. I'm looking at the poster and not thinking. Centurion and Saya versus Impulso and Aries in the IWRG versus...
XMW.
I get XMW and MXW confused. It was a challenging match, because Aries somehow... talked his way into working, and he was kind of one-armed the whole way.
We should point out, Aries, the one that showed up tonight, was, you've probably seen him in the XMW videos. He's the cool guy who has, like, the painted face
and the big,
that extends down to his chest.
Yeah, with the mouth or the tongue kind of
look. Lizard or something, where the tongue is hanging out black, red, and white. It's an awesome look, but as Cubs just said, he came out, and right away you could tell something wasn't right, because he wasn't picking up his right arm the entire time while he was saluting the crowd. Yeah. And even when he got in the ring, it looked like he was having difficulties.
Yeah, it must have been some other injury, maybe even from the last couple of days, since there's been plenty of shows this weekend, and I'm sure he was on one of them. But after, I think, each fall, they took a look at his shoulder and see if he should continue, and I'm not really sure he should have.
Before the third fall, I'm pretty sure the doctor popped his shoulder back into place.
Yeah.
But right in front of us. That was nice.
But it really never got any better for him.
But at the end of the second fall, he did like a springboard dive into the crowd, which was the only time he really used that other arm. Otherwise, he was like really being really careful when he bumped to make sure he wasn't landing on that shoulder. And it kind of slowed things down a bit, because he would lose his balance, because when you're running and trying not to pick up one arm, naturally, your body has to adjust, and his body wasn't really adjusting too well.
I was not big fans of the XMW guys in this match. I thought, because Ayres, I mean, he tried, and you got to give him credit for trying to get through the match in the condition he was in. I thought Impulso and Saya were just not on the same page, especially early on, and that, especially because they did a kind of an IWRG style match where they did mat work at the beginning, and that did not seem like it was Impulso's strong suit.
No, I would agree with that. But I thought after the mat work, the match got awesome. I really enjoyed it. Impulso did his cool move where he stepped on Seiya's back and then jumped off into an arm drag.
Yeah.
Centurion did a couple nice exchanges, a couple nice kicks and stiff slaps with Impulso.
Yeah.
They did the second fall was where he jumped into the crowd.
Right, where Seiya counted out and... Right. Centurion got pinned after like a pump handle powerbomb kind of move.
Right. The third fall had a bunch of big moves, including this crazy... side suplex Emerald Frozen type thing where Centurion got dropped almost right on his head.
I wasn't sure if he was going to keep on going.
The crowd screamed. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Then they did that crazy Doomsday Device dive spot that they've been doing lately in IWRG, where I think Impulso went for a dive and got knocked off the apron by Centurion onto Seiya's shoulders.
Yeah.
And then Seiya was holding him in midair as Centurion did a tope suicida, which took out a bunch of chairs.
Yeah, it was right on the stair side, too, so they didn't really have that much room to work with.
Then the crazy man, Impulso, started to climb the guardrail up into the stands, and he ended up jumping off the second level of seats with a splash onto Centurion, who was laid out on the ground, which took them out of the match. And back in the ring, finishing off things, was Seiya and Impulso. And I forget who won, actually.
Saya did a Canadian Destroyer.
Oh, right.
And that got him the win, and then he ran out and grabs
Centurion,
so,
back in the ring.
So you beat the count, so you got the guy lost on his own dive.
And then money started to rain into the ring. Everybody was throwing coins from left and right. Some were even hitting us.
Yes.
But we threw him back into the ring. These guys got a lot of money, so even if they got paid very little for the show, they split a nice chunk of change amongst themselves.
Yeah, so it's a good night for them.
Yep, I thought it was great. Centurion, he's been delivering all. We've seen him in two matches, which have been excellent. So he's probably the star of the trip right now in terms of match quality.
Before the second match, they announced their next RCH card, which is coming up quickly. October 3rd, and the main event is going to be the unique main event of Dr. Wagner versus LA Park versus Connect for a lot of money.
Justin Credible must be unavailable.
It was not enough
money. Which is shocking, Justin Credible being unavailable.
It was not enough money to get Justin Credible. Right. So they're going to do the same match here. Based on that main event, it sounds like the RCH is not going to be using the AAA guys for that show.
Yeah.
So maybe there'll be more IWRG guys. Maybe there'll be other guys on that show. That was the only match we were told from that, but they were promoting it hard throughout the show.
We met the promoter, actually, when he sold us the tickets on Thursday, and we met him again today. Really nice guy, and he seemed very happy with how the show went.
Yeah, especially with that turnout.
So, second match?
Second match was Taya Valkyrie, Yuriko, and El Apache versus Atomic Boy, Pimpinella Escarlata, and Birthday Girl Jennifer Blake.
Nobody got kissed in this match. I mean, me and Cubs. Lots of people got kissed, but it wasn't me and Cubs.
Yeah, I was after Thursday and some other, when it seemed like people were diving to our sides just to impress us or just to mess with us, I was waiting for for Pimpinella or Yuriko was going to come over.
I thought for sure, like 100% Pimpinella was going to come. I even made an escape plan after the match. I'm like, I'm going to save my bathroom break till as soon as that 3 count hits, I'm out of here to make sure, you know, Terry doesn't run over and tell Pimpinella to come over and lay one on us.
But he just found other fans and he was, did the usual Pimpinella stuff.
He even attacked Enrique Iniesta.
Yes. He tried to get the kiss before the match. Enrique kind of waited off, said later, and Pimpinella made good at that at the end of the match, and with some help from the other technicals, Pimpinella got his kiss with Enrique.
Piero got away. Piero was refereeing this match.
Yeah.
He got away without being kissed. We need to learn his secrets.
All the matches on the show were 2 out of 3 falls, which is weird because I've heard that AAA only has 1 fall matches, but apparently that was...
What podcast did you hear that on?
No, I've read that someplace.
Oh, I'm in Iran. Go ahead.
Piero roughed all the AAA matches. There was a referee whose name I didn't catch who did the first one, who was kind of goofing around and trying to put himself over.
He's an idiot.
Yes.
It's a good thing we forgot to mention him. Yeah.
What do you remember? I have my notes that the technicals... It was a basic mixed trios match they did. Good. Jennifer Blake really worked very, very hard in this match. The technicals took the second, third fall after the Rules got the usual opening domination. Actually, the match started because they recognized Jennifer Blake for having her birthday, and everyone except Taya kind of congratulated her for having her birthday. Yuriko came over, and Apache came over, and it was acting like he was going to give, like, a hug, maybe?
And he stole a kiss.
He stole a kiss, and then Pimpinella kissed him.
How many Twitter stalkers are jealous of Apache right now?
Yeah.
And then Pimpinella kissed him, and the Rudo beatdown began.
Yeah. So, it was good comedy to start off.
I thought the match was... I loved the match. This is the part where you'd expect me to say, oh, the women suck, this was terrible, but... Jennifer Blake was on fire. I mean, I wish it was her birthday every day. She did an amazing...
She doesn't. She'd be really old.
Yeah. She did an amazing arm drag spot with Apache that was like straight out of Máscara Dorada and Euphoria's playbook.
Yeah.
She did a Topa Suicida. She did a Frankensteiner off the apron. And none of this was clumsy. This was like... You would think, oh my God, this is the best women worker in the world. She was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she was... she even did... She went to the floor in the first fall, put Taya Valkyrie in the seats, and then got a running start and cross-bodied her through a bunch of chairs. Yes,
that was impressive.
She sounds like the best spot in the match.
She also seems to be a fan of doing cartwheels in this match. She did.
I guess that's her new thing.
Yeah, she did one in the way of the ring. She did one during the match at one point.
Yeah, and then after the match, she celebrated with a cartwheel. She was fantastic. Like, I can't stress this enough. I hope this match makes TV. So that you can see, like, Jennifer Blake actually, you know, was great. She was over with the crowd.
It was mentioned to us on Thursday that this was going to air on AYM, I think. Yeah. But it did not air at all. And we saw the Sirikaeda guys taping it for their show. But that's all. But I think you'll see highlights of it. There should be some good highlights, but you probably won't get to see the full match.
As for the rest of the match, I thought Apache was great. They told us he was going to be great live, and he lived up to the billing. Yeah. He was funny when he was slapping the technicals. He would yell, come on, fight back. And then when they would fight back, he would run away. And you had Taya Valkyrie, well, whatever. She was fine. She wasn't so great. Yuriko was good, I thought. I thought Atomic Boy was actually pretty disappointing. He's still nursing that shoulder injury that he's had for a while.
He really didn't do a whole lot in the match.
And even when he did stuff, it was very slow. Even like he did a Hurricanrana pinfall to finish the match, and it was very, very slowly done as to protect his shoulder. I don't even think he did a Frankensteiner off the apron. Jennifer Blake did more flying moves than Atomic Boy, so that says it all right there.
Atomic Boy does have some nice new Mexican power gear that makes them look even more like Laredo Kid.
I thought everybody's gear on the show was awesome in person. Amazing. Yeah. And I can't stress enough, this match was great. I loved it.
Yeah. The technicals took 2 and 3, like I said. It was Jen had a submission on Taya, I believe. And then what was the other pin? Was it
Pimpinella grabbed Taya in like for La Rosa.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He was trying to kiss her, and she kept moving away. So eventually, he just submitted her in the hold.
Yeah, and then they got the Kasandarike after the match, and that was pretty much it for that one.
And started the trend after this match of all the wrestlers after they finished. It was like a 5 to 10 minute break.
Yeah.
So all the fans would run up to ringside and get photos with whoever they wanted. I got Atomic Boy. And I wanted Jennifer Blake, but she was being mobbed by all these people, so I didn't get a chance to say hi.
Yeah, next time when you buy her something and visit and take her out to dinner.
How dare you?
The next match
was... Marry me, Jennifer.
No. Jack Evans and Angelico. Angelico, she could do better. Versus Eterno and Carter Robert Jr. This was the match I think I was most looking forward to the show because the technicos are very fun and the Rudos were really good with those technicos.
Yep, we got our own special introduction. Enrique Niesta, I'm translating the Spanish, but he basically said Jack Evans was dedicating the match to his two, what was the word he used? I can't remember. It was like controversial. Our two controversial fans who came from Canada.
Yeah.
So we're both from Canada for now, but later in the match we find out we're both from the U.S.
Oh. I don't know. I was back to being mysterious, which is the way to go.
The entrances were all awesome. Eterno went to salute. He has his own fan club in now, Kalpan.
Yes.
So he went up to the second deck.
Some very young girls. Yeah. Younger than the girls that were rooting for Jack and Angelica.
Yeah. We had great fans behind us. In the second row, we had the loudest shrieking girls you can imagine. Anytime Jack or Angelico did anything or the Psycho Circus were out there, these people were screaming their heads off right in our ears. Mm-hmm. But that made the experience all the better, I thought.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good match from start to finish.
Loved it.
Technicos took 1 and 3 to win the match. It was a double team in the first fall that they did.
Yeah, the Angelico picked up Carta Brava for like a gory special.
Yeah.
Jack ended up doing a moonsault off Carta Brava's stomach onto Eterno.
Yeah.
Then Angelico ran with Carta Brava and dropped him onto Eterno. Yeah. Then Jack stood on both of them and did like a twisting splash.
His Viva Mexico.
Right.
Move.
Then he bent down, and Angelico was trying to jump off his back into a double stomp on both the Rudos, but kind of slipped, but still sort of hit the double stomp. Mm. We forgive him because it still looked great, and they got the 1-2-3. And then in between falls was the best moment of the night where Jack left the ring,
yes,
grabbed me out of my seat, and raised my hand for the crowd and yelled out, "Esto es mi hermano." Desde Estados Unidos, which got no pop at all, but it might air on Tercera Caída, so keep an eye out for that.
It did. People totally believe Jack.
People totally believe Jack, and for the rest of the show, I had fans coming up to me saying, "Hey, your brother is great." So that the first time confused me because I didn't understand because they said it in Spanish, and then Cecilia had to translate. But then I understood when people were coming up later because they were saying it in English.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Pretty awesome.
The Rudos came back in the second fall. I don't even remember what they did.
Jack was breakdancing and got dropkicked.
And there was like...
He never learns.
No. I think the Rudos used a couple fouls in that match, in that fall.
Yeah, they did when the referee wasn't looking and everybody was screaming at Piero. Piero played Rudo referee the entire night.
There was even, I think, a fast count in that one. Was that the match?
It was 1-2-3 and that was it.
Yeah. The technicals came back with, and they looked good in the third fall, and they did the combination that they've been doing on TV, where Angelico does the crucifix powerbomb into the corner, usually on Eterno, and then Jack does his 630 senton on top.
I thought the comeback spot was cool, where Jack like did his backflip over the ropes, and then Angelico picked up Carta Brava for like a back suplex, but he held him in midair, and Jack came off with a springboard double knee, so it was a cool combo.
Yeah, they're probably, I think, safe to say, the best tag team.
Definitely, they're great. I hope we get to see them against the Inferno Rockers 2-on-2 at some point.
And in my opinion, is that they should be the tag team champs already, and like months ago.
Maybe at Heroes Immortales.
I don't think they'll get around to it.
Jack did a couple dives, both somersaults, one on one side of the ring and the other right in front of us, which was great.
Yeah.
And that's about it. They got a huge reaction. They got mobbed by the girls afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we had the break where the Etikanis came out.
Yeah.
The Etikanis came out during every match, but I thought this time it was much longer. They went all around the ring.
It's the two AAA Etikanis that they're the only two that seem to be on every show.
I forget what they're called, but they have a name.
Yeah. Oh, no, they had a name when there were like 8 or 9 of them, but now there's only 2 for some reason.
But they still have a name. They're something.
On the show, they were the Chicas RCH.
We should stick to the format sheet, I guess.
Yeah. The next match was the Psycho Circus versus the Canseco match. Before, way back in the second match, after Technicals had won, Tejano Jr. ran out and attacked the Technicals right after.
And Psycho Clown made the save.
Psycho Clown made the save only after Tejano Jr. had hit everybody and started talking in the microphone, so he wasn't really paying attention. this was all built around this continuing Psycho Clown Tejano feud. They did.
The crowd was super hot for the Psycho Circus. Yeah. Every second person had like Psycho Circus mask or merchandise on. This is their audience.
They're really a team built for these 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-seat arenas. They are very recognizable. The crowd gets into their act, even though this was basically the same match we've seen on TV, except a little bit longer, maybe a couple – some spots that they wouldn't do on TV because they take too long to develop.
That whole referee thing where like –
where everyone, there was a spot where everyone was debating who was going to take the chop in the corner.
All the weirdos, yeah.
It's like they were getting their friend out of the way and say that they would take the shot for them, and ended up being Pyro accidentally agreeing to take for it. And the whole thing took maybe two minutes.
More than 2 minutes, and it led to one chop, basically. But I thought it was funny because the crowd, it was chanting DS, like for 10 chops.
Yeah.
But it sounded like yes. It was yes, yes, yes. I'm like, whoa, this yes thing has gone really far. It's hit Mexico already.
Yeah.
But then I realized it was DS. The match was exactly like Cub said. It was just basically what you'd see on TV. But I thought it was more entertaining in person. I thought Mascherano Dos Mil Jr. is one of those guys, just like Tony Rivera, who you don't appreciate on TV. But when you see him live, he was hilarious. When Argos was in the ring, like squaring off against Monster Clown, he gave him encouragement by yelling out, "Come on, Místico!" And then, "Oh, wait, no." So I thought that was funny. And he was playing with the crowd in the front row, acting all scared, like he didn't want to get into the ring.
Yeah.
It was more of a live thing. Like, you don't, this really doesn't come off on TV, I guess.
Yeah. The Roto team won the first fall. The Technicals came back and won the second and third falls.
It was a trend.
Yeah. Psycho had Tejano beat with his air raid crush, or whatever we're supposed to call it. That they haven't. I really think a guy whose finisher they've never named is really going to be the next world champion.
They named it on TV the other week, didn't you hear?
No.
It's the Super Buster Knee Back Cracker, according to Jesus Zuniga.
That's a catchy name.
Yes.
But Psycho had the pin on Tejano Jr. They broke it up, and then he ended up beating Argos with a Canadian Destroyer.
His new finisher, because that's what he used to beat Tejano to earn the title shot on the Toluca show.
It's another thing they can kick out of in the title match coming up, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh God. The one thing I noticed is right after the Canadian Destroyer, like Mini Clown didn't even try to hide the fact that he just stepped into the ring and like asked Argos, "Are you okay?" And Argos shook his head that he was fine. So not keeping kayfabe here in Mexico.
They did mic work.
Mass care challenges.
Yeah, right. Instead of doing the title challenge, since that's already set, the mass versus hair challenge in the Super Libre match is their new challenge that Tejano Jr. can turn down. And he did turn it down.
Obviously.
The
post-match took forever because the clowns got mobbed. Yeah. All the fans ran into the ring. They danced all together.
Yeah.
They posed for pictures, even all the way up to when they were starting to announce the main event. Psycho Clown was still in the crowd, posing for pictures with fans.
Enrique was kind of killing time talking at the end, and that's where we got our second match in the microphone. It was kind of just saying hi to people, hi to people on the microphone at that point. Our main event was Joe Leader, Daga, and Ultimo Gladiator in a three-way match with Here on the Line.
I was doing Gladiator's theme, in case anybody's wondering what that sound was.
And it turned out that it was an elimination match, even though they worked it where they were breaking up pinfalls for the entire match.
Pet peeve of Cubs fan there.
Yeah, it didn't really make any sense. They worked it completely Daga style for the first segment of the match until he...
He didn't look too into it, though. No. I didn't think he was very into the match, especially when he slipped on that spot where, like, Ultimo Gladiator did a clothesline in the corner and then rolled backwards, and Daga was supposed to jump through his legs to dropkick Joe Leader, but he clipped Ultimo Gladiator's legs and took a tumble. crowd noticed the bone spot. They kind of like whistled at him.
They do notice the bone spots. They do get on them when they happen. The match was, I think, okay for what it was for the non-extreme part. And what did Daga do? Was it a German suplex?
To get the win?
Yeah.
He did a German suplex. I don't know if that was the actual finish, but he won the match. They did a couple suplexes early. Gladiator did an awesome flying leg drop.
Yeah.
Joe Leader did whatever Joe Leader does. I you know, Joe Leader was the third best guy in this match, in my opinion. I thought Gladiator was awesome. Yeah. I thought that guy was great, even though he wasn't showing much enthusiasm for the match. They did a double submission spot at one point, which was cool.
Yeah, and then he let go to break up the other submission, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's your pet peeve.
Because then they both would have eliminated and the other guy would have lost. Then.
Yeah, well. Then, so Daga excused himself from the match.
And then
also. And so did Gladiator.
Yeah, didn't make any sense. I thought they were playing it that Gladiator thought it was a one fall match, like, because it really wasn't introduced as an elimination match. And I think they had Joe Leader pinned to as a tease, as that he was going to lose.
Right.
So ultimately, Gladiator walked off as if he had 1-2 and that Joe Leader had lost. Then ultimately, Gladiator came back with a light tube.
Yeah, Lucha Extrema.
He hit Joe Leader with a light tube, and then he went back to the back again, disappeared for a while, and came out with a folding chair. Since the chairs in ring that's upon are all hard shell plastic chairs.
This is like the anti IWL, where before a hardcore match in IWL, they had people bring out the weapons and lay them around ringside, which might have actually worked better for this.
Because it really, that start of the extreme portion was really, really slow. Because
right, I thought it was dumb that like they were in the ring and then some random guy from the back brought out a board.
Yeah,
and just slid it into the ring. Like, who is this guy? Why is he sliding a board into the ring?
Yeah, Joe Leader bled a lot, as you expect.
Oh, Joe Leader. Gosh, sure, he was dripping blood.
They did the driving the shard of the light tube into the forehead spot.
And then for Ultimo Gladiator, that's what busted him open, and he was like, you could see when his mouth opened, he was like spitting blood. It was pouring out of his mouth. I thought it was awesome.
I remember it's not, but Saya also had some mouth thing that happened to him in the first match. It's a tough show.
Tough show, yeah.
Ultimo Gladiator dominated for quite a while. But Joe Leader came back to do Joe Leader spots. Ultimo Gladiator got in his pile driver for a near fall.
Another pet peeve. This was a match of your pet peeves.
It was a Lucha Extreme match, so I'm willing to waive it this time. I know the finish was not, didn't look right, but I forget what Leader actually did to set up the finish.
Gladiator put him up top, climbed up top, and then Joe Leader gave him a Death Valley driver off the top onto a bunch of light tubes.
Yeah, and then Leader had him pinned. Piero caught
it
one.
It wasn't their fault. It was Piero's an idiot.
Yeah, Piero caught 1-2. He stopped because he thought Gladiator's shoulder was like a micro inch off the mat. And then
which is ridiculous considering earlier in the show he was counting down anything and everything.
And he counted 1-2-3 again. So it really,
it was like a 5 count.
It's almost as if they want to have Ultimo Gladiator have a really bad looking loss on the way out, because it looked like it was
on the way out.
Spoiler. Oh, that was good work by myself. It's 3:40. Gladiator. There's a reason this is happening. This is not, by the way, out. I mean, this is not anything bad. He's not getting kicked out of Triple A or anything. But he did lose his hair, and they're setting up something down the road.
He'll be around. You'll see him.
Yeah.
But you won't see him. Wink, wink.
Things will happen, and then everything will make sense.
I don't think Cubs was a huge fan of this. He's not a fan of the extreme stuff, and usually I'm not, but I thought this was great. Ultimo Gladiator has always been like a favorite of mine, one of those guilty pleasure type guys, and I thought he was great. He took a ton of punishment in this match. Both guys bleeding, the visual was good, especially up close. Ducking out of the way as the light tubes being broken right in front of us was awesome. And I thought the whole post-match was really good, with Gladiator getting completely shaved. His son actually came into the ring, young son, to start the shaving. We were shocked to find out this was Ultimo Gladiator's first hair loss.
Yeah, first ever.
It would seem that he's been through a whole bunch more.
Yeah, and it seems like the type of guy who would have had to lose his hair at some point, because he's just been kind of on that marginal line. They also shot off confetti at the finish, which just kind of surprised everybody. It was just
so the mess was basically, there was a mess in the ring of confetti, broken boards, barbed wire, or light tubes, chair.
And then everyone stormed the ring to take photos with Leader and Gladiator and stepped all over the light tubes. Broken light tubes and the not broken ones, and some people were trying to see if they could break them and how hard it would be breaking them. So
little
was,
kids though, so Lucha Extrema, not so Lucha Extrema after all.
Yeah, it was. I would not have gone in that ring, but people were very comfortable with doing that.
I went up there. I was banging on the mat, and one of the shards got caught in my hand, actually.
So that was not the best of ideas, maybe. No.
But I wanted a good picture of Ultimo Gladiator Bald.
Gladiator and Leader took pictures with absolutely everyone after that show.
Including me. I got blood from Gladiator on my hand.
They stuck around maybe 25 minutes after that. It seemed like people were filing for half out of the building, but they were still staying there and taking everyone who wanted a photo, got their photo.
I thought, yeah, and the funny part I noticed was some people threw money into the ring, and Joe Leader, like, boom, he was on that money right yeah. away, picked it up, and even during the photos, he held on to that money like his life depended on it. Bless you.
Thank you.
He hung on to that money like nobody's business. He was taking pictures, people were trying to hug him, and he was just making sure he wasn't going to drop all the coins he had.
Yeah, it's
a pretty crazy scene.
Yeah, it's money that was handed to him. It was really great. The whole combination of things made it for a strange post-match.
As we were told afterwards, there was a commissioner at ringside who actually had a funny moment during the Psycho Circus match.
Yes.
They were brawling all over the place, and Monster Clown brought Mascherano Dosimil Jr. over towards where the commissioner was sitting, and all the fans ran away because they knew that the guy was going to get thrown into the crowd. But the commissioner just like waved his fingers like, I'm not moving, I'm sitting here. So Monster Clown just went to the other side of the ring and threw yeah. Mascherano Dosimil Jr. there. And this is the same commissioner who, as we found out later, he was at like an Arena Fusion show a while ago, and he decreed that there would be no more Lucha Extrema matches allowed in the Mexico State area. And Naucalpan is in the Mexico State area, and there was a Lucha Extrema today. So apparently there's a double standard when it comes to Lucha Commissions. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, who would have guessed? We hung around a little bit after the show. We saw a unmasked luchador whose name I'm not sure we're supposed to be keeping.
Oh, Luchadora.
Yeah, Luchadora. Yeah. We were looking to say, because Jack mentioned to say hi to him after the show, and we could not find Jack, so we kind of turned left and turned to leave. And then
Wait. Before that, we met a luchador. I met Jorge Rivera.
Yes. Sky was just hanging out.
Hanging out in the crowd. I noticed. I'm like, oh, shit, I missed my chance to get the picture. Last time, when we saw him Friday in Arena Mexico, I missed my chance. We were supposed to see him Sunday in Coacalco, but it got rained out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not missing my third chance. And we went over there, and I got a picture with him. I said hi. He said hi to Cubs. He told the Cubs he's going to be in Chicago on October 2nd.
Something like that, yeah. I think it's October. I don't think he gave me a date. But, yeah.
He's a nice guy.
He's for the Lucha Libre Total show.
Ah.
Which is too many Lucha promotions in Chicago to keep track of.
And then as Cubs said, we took off. We went outside. Black Terry Jr. showed us the alternate entrance where we could hang out and wait to see when Jack and Angelico came out.
Yeah, they went in to see if they could find him for us. And then looked down the street and noticed that at the little, what would you call it, taqueria?
For the wrestler's seat after the show, I guess.
Yeah, well, for anyone to eat. They had a little cooking set up there, and Angelico and Jack Evans were grabbing dinner just a few feet from us.
It's hard not to miss the two white boys.
Yeah, the two white boys and the really tall guy.
Well, besides us.
The really tall guy, he kind of sticks out, even though he had his hoodie up to probably deflect a little of attention.
So we went over, we said hi, we talked for a bit, we got pictures because we couldn't get pictures earlier.
We found out that Angelica doesn't check the internet, so all the mean things he's been saying about him, he hasn't read yet.
Yeah, so you can bash Angelica all you want. He doesn't give a crap.
Jack was nice. We informed Jack about where he was working on Sunday, because he did not know at that point.
Right.
Angelica pointed out, yeah, we're working Sunday because that's why we have to do this interview tomorrow. So Jack, I think, is a free spirit who just kind of doesn't really worry about things, and he finds out when he finds out.
It definitely seems that way.
But he was also pretending to cut us in the throat to scare us about Mexico City violence. So he had the famous 2-minute handshake with Jose Manuel.
Neither man wanted to let go. It was the test of wills.
Yeah, they were both trying to outweird themselves, each other, and it was a very close contact.
Jack was really nice. Jack said we should get together after the Arena Mexico show tomorrow, but we still don't know what our schedule is going to be like, so we'll see. I think he wanted to go out with him and Marco.
Yeah.
So he said, I have a crazy girlfriend, so I can't go out by myself.
Yes.
But then they took off for the metro, and we met up with Jose Manuel Guillen and
El Moje from
Tercera Caída, who we've been looking for this whole trip, but we keep missing because he wasn't in Naucalpan because it was his birthday. And at IWL, he left like immediately after the show, so we couldn't meet up with him.
Yeah, he got out of there faster than we got out of there. We talked to him there, and then we went to a restaurant to grab a late night meal. Which
it's
is
hard to find a restaurant, yeah, because it's a holiday here today.
It's a holiday, but we've been having a lot of late night meals since our trip here. A
lot of late night meals.
We talked with the Tshirakaya guys, Black Terry, Alfredo from Luchamania, Monterey.
Bernardo wasn't there because Bernardo apparently lives far away from Arena Naucalpan, and Jose Manuel Guillen lives like right around the building.
And he also, I think he went to Arena Nezet to cover that show because they had the results.
That's right. They had the. You want to tell them who lost the match?
It was a Hermano Muerte Dos lost to Okamura in their big cage match.
Yep.
The restaurant we went to is La Casa de Toro. It was a very nice restaurant. It was a 24-hour restaurant, which was the key for what we needed.
Right.
They let us hang out there forever, even though we like stopped eating an hour before we left.
I had two awesome quesadillas.
Yeah, I had.
Which, if anybody knows me like personally in real life, knows that I don't eat anything but shit McDonald's or Wendy's or stuff like that. So this was actually a real weird experience for me to be trying an exotic cuisine.
So like on day, was it 5 or 6, we got you to try something that was actually tough.
And I loved it. So now I regret not having it the first couple nights.
And then I had the pozole. Pozole.
Louder, Cecilia. They want to hear you.
Pozole, which was a kind of a soup mix of chicken. The way I got it was with chicken with corn or with broth and other stuff that we put in, radishes, hominy. That's what I'm looking for. It's kind of corn. That's an easy way for me to explain it at 4 a.m.
It's turned into a food podcast.
No, not yet.
I don't think anybody really cares about what we ate, but we're going to talk about it anyways.
Yeah, so it's good meals. We've enjoyed our meals here too as much as we've enjoyed the people.
Definitely.
The
people have been great. Like, we were treated like royalty at RCH today, and we're just two nobodies.
Yeah, we're just two random people coming through.
Yeah.
Two random people and one person who knows what they're doing.
Exactly. But refuses to talk on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe that's how she knows what she's doing. She's
and not avoids all pictures.
Yeah.
Unlike somebody who doesn't want to be identified, but wears a Cubs hat and a Cubs shirt.
I hid the Cubs hat.
Why do they know who I am?
I didn't wonder. I just you know, made bad choices in life.
Okay.
We talked.
Cue awkward silence.
We talked a lot. We talked a lot about different stuff. Some stuff that we can't actually even share. Some stuff that sounds very exciting for the future that should be announced soon.
DTU TV starts this Thursday.
Yeah,
it's official, and the first match they're going to show is Flamita versus Rich Swann.
Yes, because we kept them up till like 3 a.m. and they have to wake up 5, 6,
6 a.m. They have to be at work to film DTU promos for TVC Deportes.
I think, yeah, so good luck on that. Sorry about that.
But yeah, you should definitely check it out. I remember watching a handheld of the match on YouTube, and it's awesome. Flamita is fantastic. Like, this guy, you'll probably see him in Japan soon. He's just amazing.
We also learned, as far as TVC Deportes, that they're bringing Rossellona back, or Rossellona is coming to TVC Deportes. If you look at the program grid they have on their Facebook site, there's like a half an hour mysterious Lucha Libre CML show listed. I don't remember if it's Wednesday or Thursday, but that's the return of Rossellona. CML has done a fantastic job of promoting this return. They said nothing.
Which is more than usual.
So that's coming, and then they have another big project about more Lucha Libre TV on that channel.
In the works, yeah.
We found out that actually it's a CML published show that's the most watched Lucha Libre show of all of them on there, which makes sense since those guys are bigger names than the IWL guys usually and the DTU guys have in the past.
But they also said Tercera Caída is the second highest rated show after Raw on the channel.
And they're very impressed about all the views they get from very different countries, people far away from Mexico who check out their show.
I don't suppose anybody is listening to this from Denmark, but they were very curious as to why somebody in Denmark was so interested in Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
They said that their top program was the countdown show where they counted down the 100 top moments of the year. And we talked about that show where they had the AAA and CMLL representatives on the show.
Yeah.
And how it was difficult to put together.
Yeah. They found the one CMLL guy who was willing to do it, basically.
Right. And they said, we've talked about who's a lot, like, they explained why they couldn't have Atlantis, Ultimo Guerrero, Sombra, and Volador Jr. on this week.
Yeah, in usual CML promotion, they were going to charge them for bringing them to the studio.
Basically.
Which, I guess, if you think your tickets are all sold out, then maybe you don't care, but that's, if you're trying to promote something, then you need to, that's kind of the point of sending people out for free.
Right.
Not even those four guys, they went to Averno and Blue Panther, too, and they said no.
Yeah.
They made up excuses.
Wasn't the excuse for Atlantis? They're like, well, Atlantis sleeps by 8 p.m., so he can't get there.
Yeah, so I don't know how he did that match on Friday, because that show didn't start till 8:30.
Maybe that's why they lost.
He was very sleepy. So that's why they lost the tag
match. That's why they lost. He slept through the match.
So tip to Ultimo Guerrero, make sure it's a Friday show when you finally do that mass match.
You'll at about 10:30.
Just drag the show out, walk a Averno pace to the ring, just so it's later and later.
Yeah. We talked about Conan. They put over Conan Gray, big fans. I didn't say anything bad.
No.
What else did we talk about? We talked about basically everything under the sun. We talked about they really miss going to Arena Naucalpan, but... It's not their decision. For all the people that bother them on Twitter or on YouTube in the comment section, why aren't you airing IWRG? They would if they could, but they can't.
Yeah, so you need to bug the other people, I think.
Yeah, bug the other side if you catch my drift.
We found out, speaking of IWRG, we found out one of the greatest mysteries of all time.
Oh, Bill is on the edge of his seat right now.
We found out who Megatronic is.
Drum roll. Go ahead.
It's Ricky Cruz, the Puerto Rican who was Ricky Cruz in IWRG.
And cue the sound of sighing and disappointment.
Yes, it was not impressive. It's not a mystery great guy. We spent a good chunk of there trying to find out who was this guy or what happened to that guy.
Right. We tried to find out who that awful mantra guy was in AAA.
And no one remembers.
Any idea who this guy was. That's how obscure we can get with our questions.
We found out a little bit about... We thought he might be Angel Martel. They couldn't confirm it, but we found that Angel Martel is one of the guys who helps run the CML spot shows.
AAA
spot shows, like the one basically we saw with RCH. It was Polvo de Estrellas.
Polvo de Estrellas, Angel Martel, and...
El Brazo.
El Piero and El Brazo.
Yeah.
Right, were running the... Or was it Copete Salazar?
It might have been Copete.
Copetes, yeah.
Did you say Pimpinella was running shows too, or did I misunderstand? No, okay.
I don't think it was Pimpinella, no.
Okay. So, the older wrestlers you may only see every so often, and you wonder what else they're doing.
They still have jobs.
Yeah. We talked about stuff that we can't talk about, that you kind of had to be there.
You said that before, now you're making people really angry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just... I'm drifting at this point. What else do we need to talk about from the show?
Not much. I mean, well, you never said, what was your overall opinion of the show, the RCA show?
I would put this behind, obviously behind the anniversary show, behind IWRG, and I think I would put this ahead of IWL, because it was a more, even with the long breaks between matches, it was a more compact show and had matches. I've watched Jack Evans and Angelico in versus Kurt Bravo again. I'm not sure if there's a match in IWL that I would like to give another shot at, but I wouldn't want to see the match I saw again, even though I'm probably going to put it up on YouTube so you can see it again.
Would you put this show ahead of the Ice Killer Jr. show?
I think I would have to. It's a tough
call.
By default.
I give the show a 10 out of 10. I thought this was my second favorite show so far, behind the anniversary, of course. But this show was... I've always wanted to go to a live, actual AAA show, and even though this was called RCH, it was basically all AAA talent.
Yeah.
And... I've always been a huge AAA fan. It's always been my favorite promotion. And this show was amazing. This was everything I wanted. I got all the AAA stuff, the Exoticos. The only thing missing was the minis. But the IWRG guys in the opener and the XMW guys delivered. Even the Clowns versus Koseko match. It wasn't like a classic or anything, but watching it live, I had so much fun. And the Lucha Extrema match was way better than any Lucha Extrema match on the IWL show. So I give this a perfect score. And I would love to come back to an RCH show. Hopefully they're around in a year and we can come back and see something else.
The other thing we talked about dinner, we had a lot of questions about what was taped or where the video was of this. We found out that there's that CML Guadalajara may end up in TVC Deporte soon.
The Sunday shows.
It sounds like they're taping both the Tuesday and Sunday shows and they're just going to the vault someplace.
Right.
We talked about...
Which means, as I pointed out at the dinner, or at the late dinner... Every CML show is now being taped and airing somewhere except the Friday show, the most important one, which just goes on Terra. But
no, it goes on Fox Sports. It goes on Fox Sports.
It's just like an hour of it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's ridiculous.
They have what they have is complete shows of they have complete tapings of every show that they run, and they could probably pick and choose and make a much better product if that's what they were interested in doing. But that's not the idea there.
And we what was the other thing?
Oh, we learned about people who had large collections of stuff. We heard about someone who made weekly tapes of every show and just had, you know, all the stories that the urban legends you hear about about people having these huge collections and not doing anything with them or having them in old formats that are not sure what to do with them. They're pretty much true as far as we can tell.
Jose Manuel said his boss at TBC Deportes has a bunch of Arena Pavilion stuff from AAA and CMLL.
Yeah.
And he's got huge collection of all the Arena magazines.
Yeah.
And he's got...
Was he the one who had the complete set of an Arena magazine and then just gave it all away?
Gave it all away for nothing.
Yeah.
And we had he also has a lot of 80s stuff from El Toreo.
Yeah.
I think they said.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were shocked when we told them about the story about... that 3 weeks before CML was taken off Galavision about the bad word that Leonardo Riano used to describe Negro Casas. And they couldn't believe that he would use that word. And let's just say Riano, not a popular guy amongst many people.
No, no.
Definitely not. But we don't have to hear him anymore because CML is off Galavision, so good for us.
Yeah, because he's with that Televisa, so he's not been on Terror and it won't be on Terror, I don't think.
I don't know who started it. I think it was Caesar, but I don't want to blame him for it. But apparently there's a hashtag on Twitter to get CML back on Galavision.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work, people.
No, from talking to people, it sounds like it's very low chance of them coming back at all.
And it's a very awkward situation because... CMLL is right next to Televisa, and they rent out their parking to Televisa, to employees.
Yeah.
So this is just something's got to give at some point.
Yeah, the only thing is that CMLL operates like they don't really care about TV, so they may not put up a fuss about it in the end, but if it was any other company, I would think that parking lot might have some changes coming soon.
Right, and we talked about Paco Alonso. Mm-hmm. Oh, what you brought up on Friday for the anniversary show was verified. There is a new special box or VIP seating at Arena Mexico.
Right, because Jose Manuel got the set up there.
They won't let them have guests on the show, but they'll give them 4 tickets for the VIP section, which is the same place where Paco Alonso was sitting.
Yeah, and he was actually at the show.
It makes no sense.
We talked about other rumors we've heard. To go back to, I think we talked last podcast about Volador, we were hinting at something. At this point, it looks like what we were hinting at is not happening.
Which is why we didn't come out and say it. So,
I mean,
he beat Místico, by the way, today in the Puebla. Did he beat Místico?
Yes, he did beat Místico.
Wow.
So that was kind of surprising.
Good job, CMLL.
It's
where's the hat?
I think you can put together about other things that are coming up soon in Mexico. I have no idea what the connection was making there.
Were you going to say WWL? Because we talked about WWL a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's about how terrible...
Yeah. There's reasons that the TV... that I may not have no Jason Colosio this week is what you need to know.
No WWL. you don't get to see it.
We found out more about some different people's relationships going on.
Oh, Cecilia wrote down heart gossip. I was trying to figure out what heart gossip is.
You have to think.
My heart belongs to you, Jennifer.
Restraining order coming soon.
Yes.
We found out different people's situations about what was going on. None of which was probably appropriate to share on the podcast.
So why'd you write that down, Cecilia?
People
are going to be so pissed at us.
No one's listening to this.
No one's listening, so how can they be pissed?
Yeah.
Did you want to answer Dorada fans' questions?
Dorada's questions was, I believe, he wanted to know when Pablo airs. And it's, yep. You asked where CML Sunday Pablo airs. It's actually...
Oh, Jennifer Blake just tweeted me.
No, do not.
Awesome.
Do not make stuff up.
She did.
Do not. Okay, so Pablo is taped on Monday, but it's airing on Sunday on TVC Deportes. We talked about the scheduling thing with TVC Deportes, and it just everything changes. It's whatever sporting event they have. They make do with what they can, but that's why some shows don't air some weeks or they air at different times. They don't like it either, but it's what they have to do because that's the network they are. What was the other one that he asked? He asked about the...
I'm checking now.
He asked about
another... Fill time.
You know, the easy way to find him is that whenever I get around to doing the Lucha video posts, that's when they're airing. They're airing on there, they're on YouTube. Right. I verified that they're fine with me being at Puebla and IWL. It just doesn't go up because they don't have enough time or interest to do that. And they're really, they're more focused. They're good. They're more focused on the TV shows that they do, but they're going to, they're planning on with a new TV show that they're going to do to try to do something where you watch a show and you're also promoted to see an additional match on YouTube, which I wish like Cadena Trace would do and get the Lightning match on there or something.
The CMLL.
Did you get her digits?
Did I get whose digits?
Jennifer's.
No. No. But I've got some digits for her. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Cecilia. I keep forgetting there's a woman in the room. What's next? Are we going to just wrap it up on that note?
Yeah, I think it's an appropriate note to wrap it up on. Before I say something else I'm not supposed to say, because I'm doing really good.
You're the one who's saying stuff he's not
supposed to say. Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it's going tonight.
So tomorrow, we're going to actually be tourists for a change. I think we're going to take a tour bus and look around Mexico.
Or we may go to a museum or something. We really haven't planned this at all.
I'm hoping a lucha show pops up during the day.
Yeah, they're like, hey, if you've been in Mexico, you really need to see is this Lucha Libre. And then we'll be all amazed.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. I think we're hanging out at Black Terry's house a little bit more before going with him to the Tuesday show.
Since our last chance to grab whatever we can from his room that he'll allow us to take.
Yeah, so we're going. You just may like get a forklift and take the whole room.
We could figure out a way to do that.
So we're going there for a couple hours before the show and probably after the show, because there's a lot more stuff. Our last show is the Tuesday Arena Mexico show with Shocker and Terrible in the main event.
Who's gonna win, Cubs?
Terrible.
About that?
I really like that the guy who was physically unfit to be on the reality show was getting a heavyweight title match. That's, I don't know.
You told me they usually give titles to people who are about to lose their hair.
Yeah, I did not tell you that.
Oh, Steve told me that.
Yeah.
But Steve said, so maybe I'll go with Shocker. Steve's right once in a while.
I'm not sure that they're about to get around to the Shocker match. Originally, they said they were doing Negro Casas Rush first. Even though, watching it live, Negro Casas Rush is so much the bigger match.
Right.
But
and apparently, we heard CML still has plans to run the Zocalo show at some point.
Yeah.
That's Zocalo show at some point.
But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see, because they're going to fight over it. Apparently, that date has belonged to, like, five different people.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's going to actually eventually end up with that show, if that show happens at all.
Yeah. Speaking of, what was the other plans change thing? Oh, Fusion.
Fusion is dead.
It's not coming back. It's not a workable situation. It's not on TVC Soporte's side.
And we are not the only ones who are complaining about the fact that they announced they're having a brand split of Evolution and Fusion, and now they're not. Yeah. We're not the only ones who noticed that. So if you think that we're just a bunch of internet dorks, like if on some other podcast somebody says, oh, they just remember that stuff, they're stupid marks, they don't know anything, we're not the only ones. There are people
I feel stupid right
who
now,
are actually
on.
Really smart about Lucha. And they even say, like, that was the stupidest thing because now AAA ends up looking stupid.
Yeah, they look like you can't trust when they do those kind of big angles, and really you shouldn't.
Apparently, Uro Rocker is gone, for any of you wondering where he's been, because I actually asked about that.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, that must have been in the car ride.
I am very, yeah, we split up on the way back. We lost Rob for a second, and that was okay. And myself and Cecilia took a ride back with Elmo Hige in his truck.
Right. I ended up with Jose Manuel and Alfredo, and yeah, Uro Rocker is back for more seasoning. He'll be back eventually, hopefully.
No, maybe. No.
Well, if he gets better. I thought he was fine, actually. He's the one who was in the last ever Fusion match. Yeah. Because, now that show won't exist anymore.
So
I guess our last podcast is tomorrow. We're going to wrap up the Tuesday show, whatever we do Tuesday during the day.
Depending on how late you keep us at Black Terry's house Tuesday night, it might be a Wednesday morning podcast.
I think we're going back, though. That's the thing. I think that's why he's inviting us over earlier.
Okay. Well, wow.
They have work. That's the thing. Everybody here is working now.
Oh, yeah. Monday was holiday. Tuesday, it's back to reality for them. And Wednesday, it's back to reality for us.
Unfortunately.
So
I'm having so much fun. I really wish we could have stayed long.
It's a 7 o'clock show. Gets done 9:30. 7:30. Gets done at 10. We'll actually be back in our hotel room like 10:30.
Maybe. You never know what pops up.
We'll have to go eat somewhere.
Wasn't the plan that we were going to hang out in the parking garage and try to meet some of the CML wrestlers, hopefully? It is our second home.
It is our second home. You like getting pictures with wrestlers a little bit more than I do.
Oh, I love getting pictures with wrestlers. Yeah, Cubs is trying to avoid. But hey, what kind of merchandise are you looking to buy tomorrow? Because I've been buying everything. You've been buying nothing. But all of a sudden today, you're like, oh, I need to buy some stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, I remember the people who asked me to pick up stuff, who at least one of them I know is listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to – I don't know which of those masks I'm going to get you, Joe, but I'm going to get one of those masks.
Joe Gagne?
Yes. So
nice guy.
And then I should pick up some more gifts. I think it's mostly more I'm just like looking at everything and trying to see what options I have before buying stuff, since I knew we were going to be back here eventually.
I'm disappointed that they don't have actual more like Mascara Dorada t-shirts, Titan, Valiente. Like, that was one thing even the Jose Manuel was agreeing with us today, that like CML just doesn't care. They don't promote anybody except like you can get a La Mascara shirt, a Místico shirt, or a Volador's shirt.
It didn't sound like AAA was any better.
AAA has the shirts, but they don't bring them. Like at Triple Mania, they didn't have any, supposedly.
Yeah.
But on the smaller shows, they have it. They have a lot of pirated shows. Like outside Arena Nel Calpan today, you could get a Phoenix t-shirt.
You could also get a Girl of Dynamite t-shirt while we were in the arena, which I thought...
I saw that, yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Not interested in the t-shirt. Just the girl. Sorry.
So, I think that's all we have for today.
Maybe. You going to title this podcast The Jennifer Blake Show or something?
No, I go Hermano de Jack Evans. I think this is the way to go.
Hermano de Jack Evans. Yes, that was awesome. That is like, probably one of the highlights of my wrestling fandom.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I hope it airs on Tercera Caída so I can mark out.
Yeah.
Oh, we also heard the funny story. We can end with this, I guess, that there are actually wrestlers who are mad when they're not in the top 10 of Tercera Caída. Yeah. They actually like complain about it. And there are other wrestlers who will call in advance and say, hey, this is the move I'm going to do. If I do it, will I end up in the number one of Tercera Caída's top 10?
People take it very, very seriously. As you pointed out, if this, they did it in the U.S., it would be even crazier about it.
Like, people call, like, these U.S. indie guys marks.
Yeah.
But, like, have you ever seen that parody account where they do the generic U.S. indie wrestlers
and stuff? Yeah, that's in retreats.
We should do that for Mexico now, and they just complain about being in the top 10.
Yeah.
This is like, it's everybody's own opinion is of the top 10. This is just one person's opinion.
Weren't they saying, and I hope this is off the record, that they were thinking about going away from it because people
are doing... Yeah, they're going to stop doing it because of this fact that they get so much heat from the wrestlers when they're not in the top 10.
It's not worth the trouble, and you get 3 more minutes of highlights or something, or an interview or something.
By the way, I want to recommend 2 weeks ago to watch the top 10, ironically enough, from Tercera Caída. This guy named Perico climbed almost to the top of the Arena Aficion in Pachuca, like the top of an arena, and did a moonsault off the top of the arena onto a bunch of people on the floor. He so could have easily died. It was pretty sick. You guys got to check that out for sure.
Yeah. So, and we saw this week's top 10 while we were sitting at the restaurant, didn't we?
Aerostar number one, baby.
Yeah.
Poor Aerostar.
So before I yawn into the phone again, I think we should probably wrap this up. Yeah. We will talk to you either after Tuesday's show or early Wednesday while we're rapidly trying to find out if our planes are leaving on time.
Hasta mañana.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.